Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. And this is net number 1627. It's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, September the 2nd, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, September the 3rd, 2025 at 0100.
BL-123.
This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, also the 443.325 repeater in Katy. Both of those have a PL tone of 123.0, like I just said. And there's links to the 146.7 repeater and its network, and also the AMSAT DMR talk group, 98006, YSF Fusion, 11689, the All-Star node, 572580, when those connections are working. And then there's Echo Link, and that's at star, AMSAT star. And I will now take local check-ins.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5JRD Carl, Jersey Village. Good evening, Marty.
Good evening, Carl, WD5JRD, up there in Jersey Village. Got a good signal. Let's see, welcome aboard. And we got anybody else out there? Okay, well, we hope things have been going good with you, Carl. And let's see. This is the Houston AmSatNet, and of course you can call and check in with a quick phone check-in, 713-467-9870, and you can also send a email, and that would to be wv5y@comcast.net, and then there's APRS, and that's West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Start with our usual announcement here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team, and they have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that happens at 4:30 p.m. in a local restaurant, and then they have a meeting on Zoom on the internet. That's over at k5wh.net/zoom, so you can find out what's going on the Balloon Launch Team there, actually you can get a whole bunch of help on setting things up and getting your station running right there from Walter. Okay, we appreciate Walter and John, AD5SS, there keeping the South Texas Balloon Launch Team going. So, we always appreciate that. Okay, we're going to go over to the AMSAT News Service bulletin, and this is from Paul Stotzer, and this is AMSAT News Service bulletin number 243. The AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. Please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. Okay, let's see, you can also sign up for free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletin, and that is via the ANS list. And to join the list, you get to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. And we want to thank Bruce, KK5DO, for making tonight's URLs available. And he's busy at an AMSAT Board of Directors meeting now. But URLs are posted, and they're over there at amsatnet.com. So if anybody wants to check into any of the topics in more detail, they can follow those links. So we appreciate that from Bruce. The 2025 AMSAT Symposium discounted prices are going to be soon coming to an end. And so the price increase looks like it's going to happen on September the 16th. Yep, discounted registration for the 2025 AMSAT Symposium to be held October the 17th through the 19th, 2025 in Phoenix, Arizona, will be available through September the 15th. Prices increase on September the 16th. For details, you can go to www.amsat.org/43rd-amsat-space-symposium-and-annual-general-meeting. And the call has gone out. Proposals for symposium papers and presentations are invited on any topic of interest to the amateur satellite community. We request a tentative title of your paper or presentation as soon as possible, with the final copy submitted by October the 8th for inclusion in the symposium proceedings. And proposals for presentations of the symposium do not require a paper, but presentations will be recorded and made available on AMSAT's YouTube channel and transcribed, published with its slides in the proceedings. If you've got a proposal you would like to submit, you want to send that to Frank Konarskis, and that's N1UW, and that's via f.karnauskas@amsat.org. AMSAT remove before flight key tags are available, and they are the real thing. So just like what they're hanging off of the satellites before they go up into space. And your $20 donation also goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. And it does include first class postage for the key tags, and that's only for U.S. addresses, sorry. But you can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Bruce said he's on a board of directors meeting now with AMSAT, And, of course, they're all working hard and getting everything ready because the 2025 AFSAT Board of Directors election is still underway. And the nomination period for the 2025 AFSAT Board of Directors election, it ended on June the 15th, 2025. The following candidates have been duly nominated, and their candidate statements can be found where we tell you here in a minute. Okay, those folks are Barry Baines, WB4ASW, Gary Buxton, N0JY, Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, and Douglas Tabor, N6UA. As four seats on the board of directors are up for election this year, four candidates receiving the largest number of votes shall be declared elected to those seats.
BL-123.
The candidate receiving the next largest number of votes shall be declared the first alternate. The voting period opened on July the 15th, 2025, and shall conclude on September the 15th, 2025. Results will be announced no later than September the 30th, 2025. The voting period ends right when the prices go up, or the discounted prices end there for the symposium. Okay, AMSAT members can review the candidate statements and cast your ballots. That's over at launch.amsat.org/2025-BOD-election. And we want to thank Douglas Tabor in 6UA, the AMSAT secretary, for... Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. The 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins are here now. They're celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight, and you can help support golf and the Fox Plus projects. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today, and the way you do that is you go to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. MO-122 or MESAT-1 has gone silent, but recovery efforts are underway. MO-122, which carries an AMSAT linear transponder module, went silent sometime after the collection of the last recorded telemetry frame on August the 25th, 2025, at 1909-49 UTC. Analysis of the telemetry collected shows nothing suspect or out of the ordinary, and the AMSAT command team is working with the satellite owners to see if operations can be restored. Satellite operators are encouraged to monitor the beacon and transponder frequencies for signals, and be sure to report any reception on the AMSAT Live OSTRA satellite status page. And that's over at www.amsat.org/status. Okay, we want to thank Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, Vice President of AMSAT of Operations, and Mark Hammond, MH, and AMSAT Command Station for that information. this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. And we're right at the quarter past the hour here. So we're going to take a quick standby and take a look around and see who we've got checking in. We got Andrew, KC5LWY. He gave us a ring there on the landline earlier. So we appreciate that, and make sure we got him checked in. And sounds like things are going okay out there, keeping those ferry and the people who are driving onto them all between the lines and where they're supposed to be. We've got Dale, WD0AKO. He's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. And we appreciate him doing that. We have had to use it as a backup in the past. And that's a good thing. And then we got Vern, WD0RCR. He's up there in Winston, Missouri. And he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz. Full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. All right, and then there's Kai, N6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California, up there in the very northern part of California on the coast, and where the weather's perfect. And he's one of our podcast listeners who's checking in. Okay, we got a yo from Clay, KG4OZW, and that's on the Internet Relay chat system, so we appreciate that. And I will say hello to he and also to Rachie. And then we've got Ken, AK0A. Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and then Bob, K8WX, and W8QHV. Okay, let's see, and then from over on Echo Link, we've got Mitch, 80HJ, and he's up there in Jackson, Minnesota, and we've got Indoff, N6UTC, and he's in Long Beach, California. So good evening to those folks, and of course, thanks to Mitch. There is the Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place, and that's over on DMR at 9 p.m. Central Time, and that's on the AmSat talk group, the DMR talk group, 98006. YSF Fusion 11689, as well as some of those other connected means as well. NASA seeking volunteers to track the Artemis 2 mission. NASA seeks volunteers to passively track the Artemis 2 Orion spacecraft as the crewed mission travels to the moon and back to Earth. The Artemis 2 test flight, a launch of the agency's SLS, or the Space Launch System, rocket, and the Orion spacecraft, will send NASA astronauts Reid Wiseman, Victor Glover, and Christina Koch, along with CSA, the Canadian Space Agency astronaut, Jeremy Hansen, on an approximately 10-day mission around the moon. The mission, targeted for no later than April of 2026, will rely on NASA's Near Space Network and Deep Space Network for primary communications and tracking support throughout its launch, orbit, and reentry. However, with a growing focus on commercialization, NASA wants to further understand industry's tracking capabilities. This collaboration opportunity builds upon a previous request released by NASA's SCAN Space Communications and Navigation Program during the Artemis 1 mission, where 10 volunteers successfully tracked the uncrewed Orion spacecraft in 2022 on its journey thousands of miles beyond the moon and back. During the Artemis 1 mission, participants ranging from international space agencies, academic institutions, commercial companies, nonprofits, and private citizens attempted to receive Orion's signal and use their respective ground antennas to track and measure changes in the radio waves transmitted by Orion.
DL-123.
The quote, by offering this opportunity for aerospace community, we can identify available tracking capabilities outside the government. Close quote, said Kevin Coggins, NASA's Deputy Associate Administrator for SCAN and NASA headquarters in Washington. This data will help inform our transition to a commercial-first approach, ultimately strengthening the infrastructure needed to support Artemis moon missions and our long-term moon-to-Mars objectives. Okay, responses are due by 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Monday, October the 27th. So if you'd like to look at the official opportunity announcement, you can find it and go check it out there over at sam.gov/workspace/contract/opp/50D4E81F54E3411888164FB78654A6/view. And you can also find that link over at amsatnet.com there. Thanks to Bruce, KK5VO. Forward to coming this year, hopefully, still, is the SDR, the Gen 2, the latest version of the software-defined radio, and this is a versatile GNU radio-based transverter. It's going to be built by the AMSAT folks over at ASCENT, the Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology. Okay, this unit is supposed to cover 144 megahertz through 6 gigahertz continuously and have direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, LS, and C-band operations. And it will do up conversion to 5 and dime capability, so that's 5 and 10 gigahertz. And then it's all mode, it's CW, single sideband, FT8, narrowband FM, SFTV, ATV, all kinds of different modes, and its minimum downlink data rate is 1 megascan per second, and it's built to fly on a Fox Plus and the Golf missions. That's AMSAT, Engineers Keeping Amateur Radio in Space, and improving technology as time goes by. Okay, this is Marty, WZ5Y, in Houston AmSatNet. Once again, we want to remind everybody of those website addresses for our net. It's www.amsatnet.com. Greece. And since Greece is the AmSat Awards guy, too, as well as being a board of directors member, he has put up information there about getting certificates and making getting awards for making satellite contacts. So you can check that out. And then there's more of that over at amsat.org. And in addition, you will find the frequencies that the satellites are operating on and their status, whether they're operational or non-operational. And, you know, as of, like, just recently when the people have heard them or not. So that's usually very good info to follow because it's very up-to-date. And then there's also information about the symposium that's coming up and then the AmSat store, so you can even buy some of those good satellite antennas. And, of course, those antennas would be like an N-squared LEO pack from the AmSat store. And if you purchase through AmSat, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. So we appreciate that. And, of course, if you want a direct link over to the AmSat store, it's over at amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Looks like there are no changes to the AmSat TLE distribution for August the 29th, 2025. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So when you run a satellite tracking program on your computer, you just download and install and update, there your orbit positions with these KEP files, and then your satellites will be in the right position, you know, if you've got your time set right there when you're using your program. Alright, TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files are posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more info over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And this week there are no additions or deletions to the AmSat TLE distribution, but we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AmSat Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. All right, looks like we're going through tonight's info kind of rapidly here, so we may have to come up with some extra stuff there at the end, but see, we're right at the bottom of the hour now, so we're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to see if we have any more local check-ins, or any check-ins. Any check-ins that you stand outside net, come now. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts from Japan aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Okay, we've got some scheduled contacts. The Ethiopian Space Science Society in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, has coverage via VK4KHZ, and the ISS call sign is scheduled to be NA1SS, and they're presently scheduled to be on 145.800 megahertz, and the crew member to communicate with is Kamaya Kuli, KG5BPH, and the Air Mentor is IN3GH3. All right, this contact is Thursday. It was 9/4/2025 at 08:23:14 UTC, and it's going to have a 65 degree elevation. Okay, then here's kind of an unusual one. It's a research vessel, the EV Nautilus in the Pacific, the Howland and Baker Islands, U.S. territory, and they're going to have a telebridge via K6VUE, and they're scheduled to communicate with NA1SS and with Zena Cardman, KJ5CMN, and the Harris Mentor is KI5SDP, and the contact is Thursday, September the 4th of September 2025 at 09:03:21 UTC with a 36 degree elevation.
CL-123.
Okay, and then also coming up, we've got the Pan American International School in Bouquet, Paraguay, and they're going to have a contact direct via ZP5DBI, and they're scheduled to contact NA1SS with Kamaya Kui, KG5BPH, and the Air Mentor is DE6JBJ, and the contact is going to be on 9/5/2025 at 11:42:08 UTC with a 36 degree elevation. Many times, a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but we at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. And as always, if there is an EVA, a docking, or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. The crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 megahertz up, the peel tone of 67, and then on 437.800 megahertz is the downlink. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up on the radio, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. When there's a pass, you just never know. You might end up being able to talk to one of the astronauts. Okay, we say no, all times are approximate. So you should do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed times. And the latest information on the operation mode for the International Space Station is over at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use for the ISS is at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. Okay, too. I want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the Air Operation Team mentors, for that information. Hey, do you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AMSAT car flyer and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And then 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And when you're ready to do that, you just jump over to www.zazzle.com/store/AMSAT_gear. And if you got your AMSAT car flag, and when you're making satellite contacts, maybe you can whip that out there when that policeman pulls in behind you and wants to know what you're doing. Of course, that would be in addition to your FCC amateur radio license. Okay, we've got AMSAT ambassador activities. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations. They demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites and host information tables at club meetings, hamfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And AMSAT ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, "Think of presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club for event." If you'd like to participate in that, you can let Clint know, and you can email him at k6lcsclint@gmail.com, or give him a ring, and that's at 909-999-7287. And Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far has been customized and tailored to his audiences. So find out about working the easy satellites in good form there, straight from Clint. We do have some scheduled events still left on the list there. We've got the September the 6th, the 2025 Gooder Louis Ham Fest. So that's coming up this weekend, and that's at the Paraquet Springs Conference Center at 395 Paraquet Springs Drive in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And that's at 40165. And you should see W4FCL, Bo Lowry, the AMSAT ambassador director there, so that'll be good. He'll be giving out AMSAT information. All right, October the 11th, 2025, at the Hennepin Technical College in 9000 Brooklyn Boulevard, that is going to be the North Star Radio Convention. And that is in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 55445. And you can go to northstarradio.org. And you will see Mitch 80HJ there. All right, then coming up, the October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, the AMSAT Board of Directors meeting and the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting. And that is going to be at the Holiday Inn and Suites, Phoenix Airport North at 1515 North 44th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. And you can find details over at www.amsat.org/2025-symposium. Hey, if you are interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador, you want to know what they do? They provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and that's big one there at Hamfest. You can get a good crowd going. And they host information tables at club meetings and Hamfest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So you can find more info just over www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. See, we want to say congratulations to Make Sim Max Raminski, SA5IKN/EI6KC/M0FKN, who has become the first person with three ARRL GXCC satellite awards. Most recently, he received GXCC satellite number 542 as EI6KC. This was also the first GXCC satellite awarded in Ireland. He also holds GXCC satellite number 385 as M0SKN from England and GXCC satellite number 421 as SA5IKN in Sweden. Max also holds Satellite Workshop Zulu Awards from all three entities. So, ANS thanks Max, SA5IKN, EI6KC, M0SKN for that information, and we want to say congratulations to him. I would say that's a DXCC Satellite Cube.
DL-123.
The TINCO 2 is expected to be deployed for the International Space Station on October the 21st, 2025. TINCO 2 includes a VU linear transponder, a digitalker, and a camera system with a 5.8 GHz CW beacon. And information on that one can be found at iaru.amsat-uk.org/finished_detdetail.php?serial_num=834. Okay, of course, we have that URL for you over at amsatnet.com as well, and the link there made available by Bruce on the front page. Let's see here. Yeah, we'll give out those URLs one more time. Looks like we're about three-quarters of the way here through our net. And let's see, we've got www.amsatnet.com for our net and for Bruce's URLs and satellite award information. And then you go over to amsat.org and you can find the status of the satellites, the frequencies they're operating on, information about the symposium, and the store. We're slowed down just a little bit over here. We usually have this lovely 46-inch TV monitor, TV/monitor there we've been using for many years as one of our three monitors here connected. But on Saturday, we had a close lightning strike, and yeah, that sucker doesn't turn on anymore. Gears a little bit. There, we still got some time left. And we're going to run over here to Space Daily. And looks like We've got some info about the SpaceX and Starship. We want to maybe talk about that a little bit more because it was such an awesome launch, and since number 10 was actually one that pretty much did everything. Okay, of course, this was from August the 27th at South Padre Island, United States, or Boca Chica. And the SpaceX's Starship Mega Rocket, it launched on its latest test flight, and that was number 10. SpaceX's Starship Mega Rocket roared into the skies Tuesday on its 10th test flight following a string of explosive failures that cast doubt about its ability to realize Elon Musk's vision of colonizing Mars. Standing 403 feet, or 123 meters, or it's about 10 stories tall, the most powerful launch vehicle ever built lifted off from the company's star base in southern Texas at 6:30 p.m. local time, or 2330 GMT, triggering loud cheers from engineering teams. A webcast shows. Starship is key to Musk's ambitions of making humanity a multiplanetary species, while NASA is awaiting a modified version to act as a lander for its plans to return astronauts to the moon. Launch attempt on Sunday was scrubbed due to a fuel leak on the launch pad. On Monday, weather intervened as thick clouds forced another delay. But the third day was the charm, much in riding on the mission, after the last three flights ended with the upper stage exploding, twice over the Caribbean and once after reaching space. In June, an upper stage blew up during a ground test. Yeah, they loaded all the fuel on, and that second one went up spectacularly and caused a bit of damage there to their flight hardware that they fixed. See, we've had so many tests, and it hasn't proven itself reliable. Dallas Kazimowski, the space analyst, consulting firm Analyst Mason, told AFP, the successes have not exceeded the failures. But the goal was to send the upper stage ship, eventually intended to carry crew and cargo, halfway across the globe before splashing down off of Northwest Australia. Outfitted with prototype heat shield materials, it will deploy dummy Starlink satellites while flying a trajectory meant to stress test its rear flaps. The booster, known as Super Heavy, splashed down safely in the Gulf of Mexico, while SpaceX previously wowed observers by catching the booster in the launch tower's chopstick arms. That didn't happen this time, but this flight instead focused on collecting data on how it performed when an engine unexpectedly cuts out. And then it dropped into the ocean. Despite recent setbacks, Starship is not seen as being at a crisis point, which is good. And Elon has a positive attitude there. And SpaceX's fail fast, learn fast philosophy already given a commanding lead in launches with its Falcon rocket, while Dragon capsules ferry astronauts to the ISS, and Starlink has become a geopolitical asset. So, good news there. All right, we say go rapid prototyping. Still, Starship presents new challenges. Musk has identified developing a fully reusable orbital heat shield as the toughest task, noting it took 9 months to refurnish the space shuttle's heat shield between flights. What we're trying to achieve here with Starship is to have a heat shield that can be flown immediately, he said on a webcast on Monday. Another hurdle is proving Starship can be refueled in orbit. I think that's going to be a big one. With super-cooled propellant, an essential but untested step for the vehicle to carry out deep space missions. Time is running short to ready a modified version as NASA's lunar lander for 2027 and for Musk to make good on his vow to send an uncrewed Starship to Mars on next year. All right, well, good thing they got permission to launch 25 of those a year, so let's just see if they can keep up with that pace. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, let's see, we're looking here, another SpaceX, another Starship particle, another Starship particle, Okay, NISAR clears its on-orbit checks and ready for science data flow. This is Mike, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. This is by Clarence Oxford from Los Angeles from September the 1st, yesterday. NISAR clears on-orbit checks and readies for science data flow. After its July 30th launch, the NASA ISRO NISAR radar mission cleared preliminary health checks and, on August the 15th, unfurled its 39-foot, 12-meter reflector, then powered up both L-band and S-band SARs.
BL-123.
Orbit racing toward a 464-mile or 747-kilometer mean altitude began on August the 26th, with science-quality images expected within weeks. Full science begins about 90 days after the launch. The first dual SAR mission, NISAR's 24-centimeter L-band maps motion, biomass, and soil moisture beneath forest canopies, while its 10-centimeter S-band tracks finer vegetation and snow moisture. Both operate day or night through clouds, revisiting both land and ice twice each 12 days, and resolving sub-inch crustal shifts key to earthquakes, volcanoes, and landslides. Partnership spans NASA and the ISRO. ISRO's Space Application Center supplied S-band SAR, URAO Satellite Center, the bus. Launch was from the Satish Dhawan and IS-TRAC overseas deployments and operations. JPL provided the L-band SAR, the reflector, the boom, high-rate science communication, solid-state recorder, and payload data subsystem. the Guard's Near Space Network receives L-band data. Okay, this is Marty, W5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. And ICE-I introduces scan-wide mode to enhance the SAR satellite image capacity. ICE-I was launched its latest synthetic aperture radar imaging mode, the SAR, scan-wide, delivering the largest scene to coverage in its portfolio. With this mode, users can capture up to 60,000 kilometers in a single scene or 120,000 kilometers through multi-frame tasking, ideal for maritime monitoring and dark vessel detection. New mode leverages ICE-I's phased array imaging technology, offering a range from 25 centimeter resolution dwell and spot modes to the 27-meter resolution scan-wide mode with a 200-kilometer by 300-kilometer footprint. This range allows scalable resolution and area combination to meet diverse operational needs. Scan-wide supports large-scale intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance missions, ISR, enabling analysts to detect activities such as illicit ship-to-ship transfers or vessels operating without automatic identification systems. Once identified, operators can switch to higher resolution modes like dwell precise and spot find for detailed analysis. Beyond defense, the mode benefits environmental applications including oil spill detection and monitoring. The capability is available across ICE-I's growing constellation, ensuring unmatched revisit rates and global access. By adding ScanWide to our imaging portfolio, we enable users to zoom out to search wide areas and then zoom in for high-resolution collections of targets of interest, tipping and queuing all within the same seamless user experience, said John Cartwright, ICE-I's SVP of Product for Data. ICE-I operates the largest SAR constellation in the world, with 54 satellites launched to date. Its satellites deliver 25-centimeter ground-resolution imaging in all weather and lighting conditions, strengthening situational awareness and detection capabilities worldwide. 25 centimeters, that's wow. Everybody, that you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org, and in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Okay, memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to keep amateur radio in space, and that comes from this week's ANS editor, Paul Stotzer, N8HM. And that's n8hm@awrl.net. And frequency ANS is a service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, and they reside at 712 H Street NE, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 20002. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT.net. Stay safe out there. Keep playing with those radios. Keep making lots of satellite contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, WE5ACM, Bruce, KK5, Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3s for this week from the Houston AMSAT.net.